Hey, it's Ethan. Before we start the show, I just want to remind you that we are in the middle of a fundraiser here at North Country Public Radio. You can support the Howl podcast and our other podcasts, including If All Else Fails, Northward's Story of the Day, Northern Light, and everything that we do on the air by making a gift, ncpr.org/give. That's ncpr.org/give. And seriously, every little bit counts, whether it's a dollar or $5 or $10, whatever works for you helps us keep doing cool stuff here at NCPR. Head to ncpr.org/give, tell them Ethan sent you, and thanks. Here's the show.
So there I was in the jelly, and I'm just slapping and grabbing and kneeing and clawing, and you're hitting the concrete floor, and you're splashing waves of green ooze into the crowd. And there wasn't an empty seat, there wasn't a place to stand. The whole town had come out for a show.
That was Olivia Dwyer, live on stage at one of our Howl Grand Slams. And on today's episode, the bank account is empty. From NCPR and the Adirondack Center for Writing, this is The Howl. True stories, no notes, told live on stage in the North Country. I'm Ethan Shanty. Have you ever been to the grocery store and you swipe your debit card and you wait and wait and wait to see if that purchase is going to go through? It's been a long time since I've seen that dreaded message come up saying insufficient funds. But honestly, I still worry every single time I check out. You know, I'm a lot more financially responsible than I used to be, but when you spend most of your life kind of broke, it's hard to shake that feeling that you just don't have enough. Here's something fun that I learned recently from my nephew who was doing a genealogy project. I come from a family of bootleggers. During that brief period of time when the Great Depression and Prohibition in the U.S. were overlapping, some members of my family were smuggling alcohol over the Canadian border into New York. And let's face it, it was a good way for people to make money. For those folks who just didn't have any other options, that reward heavily outweighed the risk. And, you know, I always thought it was kind of a cool tidbit to throw out to my friends at parties, like, hey, my grandparents were bootleggers. But I do often wonder what it was like for them. Yeah, it's cool for me to tell a story about them being bootleggers, but really they were struggling to make ends meet when there was just so little to go around. And I wonder, how much did they go through before they finally decided to break the law to keep their pockets full? There's been a lot of times when I was looking to make some extra cash, but I always managed to keep it above board, though I'll be the first to admit that I'm always on the lookout for a get-rich-quick scheme, though I'm certainly not going to be bootlegging anytime soon. Now, today's story isn't as dramatic as all that. Our storyteller is not smuggling whiskey over the border in the back of her car. But this story is about getting past your limit to make some extra cash. Olivia Dwyer is our storyteller today, and she found herself in the basement of a booze-soaked bar, staring at a pool full of jelly, ready to make her mark in the world of underground wrestling. Here's Olivia Dwyer, live on stage in 2019 at the Howl Grand Slam.
So when I was 23, I was working as a lunch lady at a ski resort in New Zealand, which was a lot of fun because free skiing, but it wasn't very lucrative because 23-year-old, lots of bars. So I was on a diet of instant noodles when I heard that the Albertown Tavern was having a jelly wrestling competition with cash prizes, and it seemed like a good way to make a few extra bucks. And I told myself it was fine because, you know, jelly wrestling is really an athletic challenge. And I wasn't going to wear a bikini. I wore a sports bra. I wore running shorts. And, you know, a tavern is not a frat basement. They have pool and darts, but not beer pong, so totally fine. When I got to the pub that night, the first thing they asked me was, what is your wrestling name? And I hadn't thought about this, but I knew my brother at the time was a boxer, and he went by the name of Thunderpunch. So I thought, okay, I'll honor his work and name myself Thunder Chunks. It made absolutely no sense whatsoever. And the next thing I learned was how a jelly pit is made. You take a bag of dry jelly crystals, you add 100 gallons of water, you mix them together in an inflatable pool that's 8 feet wide with 2-foot walls, and you keep mixing until it turns into this icy cold neon green ooze. And then the bartender took me and 15 other women aside, and he handed out these elastic hairbands, and they're the kind that are really stretchy until you hit max, and then they just pop off. And we were told to put 4 on each arm and 4 more on each leg, and this is how we were going to keep score. Everybody would fight for 3 rounds of 2 minutes, and whoever had the most bands left at the end would be the winner. And the last thing he said to us was, let's keep it clean. But, you know, if you give people enough beer and then you give them permission to get rowdy and then you add a circle of bystanders who are screaming things like, take her down, things escalate pretty quickly. So there I was in the jelly and I'm just slapping and grabbing and kneeing and clawing and you're hitting the concrete floor and you're splashing waves of green ooze into the crowd. But I pulled hairbands and I made my way all the way to the final where I went 3 rounds with a girl from Minnesota. Ultimately, she won by 1 hairband. She got $300. I got my picture in the paper. And I decided next time around I would trade the expanded public humiliation for cold hard cash. So I went back when they announced a second fight night. A month later. And this time, I put a little thought into it. I decided that my costume was going to be a trash bag. I cut 2 holes for my arms and a hole for my head, and then I secured the whole thing to myself with industrial strength packing tape, because when you put plastic on plastic and add slime, I thought, nobody would be able to hold me down. Perfect. When I got to the pub, I saw they'd put a little more thought into it this time around, too. We had bunch of tables surrounding the pool to make like a ringside bar. And then there were these risers with chairs on them to make stadium seating. And there wasn't an empty seat. There wasn't a place to stand. The whole town had come out for a show. So then we were taken aside one more time and given all our hairbands. And they had the same elastic ones, but this time there were these like kind of woven polyester terry cloth things. And I couldn't even stretch one over my calf, so I realized they were going to be really hard to break. And I put a few on my arms as a good backup plan. And then they asked us again another question. They said, what do you want your walkout song to be? And I hadn't come prepared for this either, so I just said what came naturally. I said, Wild Thing. And when I heard that music, I came running out. I jumped on those tables. I was strutting my stuff. I was doing air guitar solos and headbanging. And the crowd was pumped. And when I hit that jelly, I was ready to go. The bell rang, and I just went to work. Pop, 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 pop. And in 90 seconds, I tore off all 16 hairbands for the fastest win in Albertown Tavern jelly wrestling history. Thank you. In the semifinals, things got a little interesting. My opponent was flagging in the second round, and I saw my chance. I reached in and I grabbed a band on her leg. I could feel it was that terry cloth stuff, though, and when I yanked, it wouldn't rip. It just knocked her to her knees, which gave me a chance to grab another one on her arm. And I yanked again, but still, it wouldn't rip. And so this time I flexed like I was the Hulk ripping my shirt open and yanked on both of them at the same time, but nothing. I'm still holding these bands. And so I go again, and now my neck veins are bulging like an Olympic weightlifter, and I'm just yanking on this poor girl. But still, they won't let go. And then the adrenaline kicked in, and I just went into full Hulk mode. And I picked this girl up by the hairbands and just slammed her to the floor. And they didn't break. So I picked her up again and slammed her again. And finally they broke. And I got the W, which took me to the quarterfinals. And here I learned that some jelly wrestlers will use dirty tactics, which, frankly, is just an insult to the integrity of the sport. And here's what they do. They try and strip you naked, because if you are covering yourself, you're not playing defense or trying to get at their hairbands. And so this girl came out, and she grabbed my plastic bag, and she ripped it off, and she ripped off half my bra and just left me totally exposed. And I was furious. I demanded the refs stop the match. I left the ring. I put on my backup bra, because I had seen this tactic before. And then I retaped my bag together, and I went back out, and I had one thing on my mind, which was revenge. And when I got back into that jelly pit, I turned that girl's tactics against her, and I channeled Wolverine, and I shredded her t-shirt to bits. Which, to give her credit, she did not go down easy. She used one hand to cover herself and then kept going, kept fighting with her other hand. But when that final bell rang, I was avenged. I was triumphant, and I was victorious. Which got me so close to the title belt that I could almost feel it. I could feel that fake leather. I could touch that plastic painted with gold. But I had one more fight left. I had the final. And I stepped into the ring with a woman who was wearing these denim cutoffs and a long-sleeved flannel shirt. And we were both pretty tired at this point, and we're just lumbering through the jelly, and we're both breathing really hard. But I'm clawing at her bands, and I can feel them popping off, but I don't understand what's happening, because after the first round, after the second round, the ref counts her bands, and they're all there. And meanwhile, mine are disappearing, and I'm getting worried. But I'm ready to go. I get into position, I'm ready for the third round, and suddenly the crowd noise breaks through my tunnel vision, and I hear them screaming, "She's cheating! She's cheating!" And I didn't know what was going on, but then the ref grabbed this woman's wrist, and he pulls up her sleeve, and there were five extra bands tucked up there. And he drops her hand, and he reaches for mine, and he goes, "And the winner is Thunder Chunks!" There's more, because I came back 2 years later. I did another ski season, and I felt I had to reclaim my title. But this time, I was fully professional. I had no booze. I brought Gatorade. I had energy bars, and I got work done. My boyfriend couldn't make it. He was at work on his shift. But after the last fight, I texted him the update with a simple text that read, "Payday, baby." So it feels a little bit strange to tell all of you that my alter ego is this half-naked rage beast dripping in jelly. But on the other hand, I'm very proud of the power and the strength and my $600 in career winnings. And I treasure those close encounters in the Albertown Tavern jelly pit. I might even do it again. So keep an eye on those fight cards.
That was Olivia Dwyer, live on stage in 2019 at the Howl Grand Slam. And that's it for this season of the Howl Podcast. We'll see you in a couple months with more true stories told live on stage right here in the North Country. I want to thank you so much for being with us, and don't forget to support the show so we can bring you more stories. Head to ncpr.org/give to support us with a gift in any amount. Your support means that we can continue bringing you cool new episodes of this podcast and others. It means that we can continue to bring you live story slams, and you can find out when we're going to be telling stories in your hometown if you head to our Howl landing page. Find more episodes of the show and see when we can host you live on stage in your community. It's ncpr.org to make a donation, to check out the Howl, to check out our other podcasts, to hang out with us online. That's ncpr.org. The Howl is a co-production of NCPR and the Adirondack Center for Writing. The show is written, edited, produced, and hosted by me. I'm Ethan Shanti. Editorial supervision comes from news director David Summerstein, and special guest editor on this episode was Emily Russell. Doyle Dean is our production manager. Bill Hanel is our digital guy, and Caitlin Kelly handles our social media. Our theme music is by Famous Letter Writer of Plattsburgh. For North Country Public Radio, I'm Ethan Shanti. This is NCPR.